Hey, this is Eric Shaw, pastor at West Shore Church in Lakewood, Ohio. Thanks for listening to this week's message. I just pray that God speaks to you right where you're at. If you live within range of us, please feel free to stop by and meet me on a Sunday. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. sharp. Love the chance to get to meet you. God bless you. Have a great week. This is the first day of our new journey, and appreciate you all being here and you know, looking forward to a lot of growth coming in the future. And just remember to be inviting people that you know and welcoming people to come and join with us on this. We are in this for the Lord and to reach other people, right? So we want to continue to broadcast our faith and just welcoming and loving people as they come. And so, you know, I was thinking about our journey here, and you know, at first I was kind of focusing in Joshua as far as coming into just the promised land. But I really feel like we're perhaps more in the beginning stages of coming out of something, and then just having to trust God and walk where He leads. And so, you know, I'm going to be looking in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, you can begin to find the book of Exodus. It's simple. It's towards the beginning, but Exodus 13. But we're kind of like on a road trip, right? Now, who doesn't like a road trip? You know, there's nothing like a road trip. Nothing like the feeling of the open road, of being on the move, church on the move. You know, in college, particularly when I was in college at Bowling Green State, there was nothing like the spontaneous calling of road trip. And you could hop in the car and you could go anywhere, you know, as long as you still, you know, had gas money and weren't too broke and weren't failing too many classes. I mean, you could really just go anywhere and hop in with your friends and just hit the road. And the sense of freedom, it gets people excited. And so, you know, road trips later on in life, they take a little bit different form. You know, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. There's more to think about, but it's still exciting, right? I don't know if you remember perhaps a certain movie. Anyone? I know it's a little dated reference, but National Lampoon's Vacation, Chevy Chase, the Griswolds, huh? Anyone? You feeling me? Okay. You know, the family road trip filled with all the challenges. If you watch the movie, there's so many challenges that came up. And Clark getting into some trouble. Where's that next slide at? Yeah, I don't know if you... It's a little hard to see there, but... you know, he got into some trouble and some things that, you know, road trips, especially with the family, are filled with challenges. They're filled with memories. They're filled with bad smells. They're filled with wrong turns, you know, and all kinds of things. But they're still exciting. You know, we had a road trip recently, although, you know, back then they didn't have the Nintendo DS. And I just got to tell you, you know, we had from Kentucky to Myrtle Beach a few weeks back, and we had four kids because we picked up a couple of the cousins, and we're taking them to meet their mom there. But all four of them had the Nintendo DS, and they all linked together. And so for like, what, 9 hours, they were like racing and having the greatest time, and we're like, fist bump, yes. You know, I mean, I'm sure their brains had turned to goo by the end of 9 hours, but we were just so excited. They're like, you know, like there was not the every half hour, you know, like, I'm hungry, I need to go to the bathroom. You know, there was like, they're like, oh, yes, and they're celebrating their wins. And so, you know, in that sense, I'm really grateful for modern electronics. But, so everybody, you know, but everybody remembers this iconic 80s movie and follow the adventures of the Griswolds to Wally World. But our church is a family, and it's a growing family, and it's a family that will increase as we as the Lord brings more people through us, inviting others, and we embrace more and more people. But our family is kind of launching out on a family road trip together. And so over the next 5 weeks, before my last Sunday, which will be on September 25th, provided nothing comes up before then, I want to do one last series to prepare you for the journey ahead. I've been spending some time, like I said, in the Word in Exodus, and God's people were leaving behind their time in a difficult situation and were beginning a new journey. They were beginning a new stage. They were beginning a new process. God was leading them out of something into what He promised that He would bring towards fulfilling God's destiny for them. And I want to look at that journey over the next several weeks. And I want to see what things that we can learn from them and what God may wish to speak to us, not only in relation to the journey together as a church, but also each of us in our individual journeys with the Lord towards fulfilling His purpose in our lives, why we're here. So we're going to look at what to do when facing impossible obstacles. We're going to look at what God thinks of whiners and those who want to go backwards in life. We're going to look at how to know what God's will is. But today we're going to look at baggage. Okay, we're going to look at baggage. The people of Israel came out of Egypt with baggage, more than one kind of baggage. So let's pray and just ask God to speak to us today through His Word. Lord, we invite You to come. God, come and be real amongst us. God, come and meet with us in our hearts. Bring Your kingdom into this place, into this school gymnasium, into our hearts, into our lives. Bring Your kingdom and establish it perfectly. God, we say, let Your will be done perfectly as it is in heaven. Father, we thank You for Your provision. And God, we ask that You would meet us, protect us from the enemy, provide for us. And God, help our lives to bring You maximum glory. Lord, would You speak clearly to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first I want to look at a packing list. What to pack, okay? You've got to pack. You know, obviously if we're going to go on a trip together, we need to take some baggage. You know, anytime you go on a road trip, you take some things with you. You know, change of clothes, right? You need those. You know, how else will the, you know, if you don't take baggage, how else will the airlines lose it if we don't take it? You know, so you've got to have some baggage, just if not for them to, you know, destroy or toss over the conveyor or, you know, wherever they go into the void of baggage is wherever they go. But there are things that you are meant to take with you when you go elsewhere. Okay? Especially as you move into a new phase in life. There are things that you are meant to learn and carry with you. You're meant to learn the faithfulness of the Lord. You're meant to learn the lessons that He intends you to teach. And you're meant to carry those with you. Or else you will wind up having to relearn those things. And so, especially in a move, you find this incredible sense of clarity about what really matters. You know, as we prepare for our move and we're packing and as we prepared in the church and you know, and you're going through everything because, you know, we put a whole bunch of stuff in storage, but, you know, those cost and they're not unlimited. So we went through kind of everything. We're like, okay, do we need this? Nope. Nope. You know, and I was probably pretty bad. I was causing some heart attacks, throwing things away that, wait, we need that. But there's a real sense of clarity that comes in a move. What do I really need? What do I really need? If you're in a transition moment in your life, it really brings clarity. You know, especially if it's a painful transition, all of a sudden you're like, you know, what really matters? And so there's clarity that comes. And so as we move as a church, as we move our location, as we move, and it's much more than a move from a physical location. God is moving us into the next chapter. I don't know if you remember back at the turn of the year, I said, I really feel like this is the year where God is going to lift the church. And he certainly has done that and lifted us out of our building. And so we're here and there's this clarity that comes. And so what do we want to take with us? What do we need to take with us? What's of the Lord? Certainly one of those things would be the cross. We'll take the cross with us wherever we go. The cross of Jesus is our purpose. It is our reason for being. The cross of Christ is something that we carry with us. It is central to our purpose as a church. Now, I don't know about this actual physical cross. We may have something that's a little lighter or something like that, especially as we're being mobile right now. But if that physical cross maybe isn't there, it, certainly we will be carrying the cross with us no matter where we go. Amen? And so we find clarity. We find what really matters. And so I want to look at Exodus 13, verse 19. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. 13:19 says, and this is as they were preparing to leave Egypt and go out into the wilderness. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. Okay. In their exodus, they were remembering what God had spoken to them in the past. See, God's word doesn't pass away. God's word is true, it is eternal. And they were remembering what God had spoken to them in the past. And they were remembering that God had promised to lead them to the promised land. And they were remembering what God had spoken. And so as we enter into this new phase, if you will, of the church life, we need to remember that there are many who have come before us, who have sacrificed, who have prayed, who have fought to move this church forward. They should be honored in our hearts, even if we don't know their names. There are many names that we do know. Some are with the Lord, and some who have moved on in life. Just a few of those names. Malonis, Stewart, McIntyre, Lindemann, Pavetic, and many, many more that can all be mentioned. Many people shouldering the burden of moving this church forward to where it is today. And we should remember that. And we should be thankful. When we are gone, we hope that our legacy of faith would continue on and be remembered. Many prayers have been offered in the life of this church that was started way back in the 70s. Many prophetic words were given. Much faith was given. Much investment of time and resource and finances was given. And so we should stop and we should remember that, the faithfulness of those who have come before. Because all of us, whether we're a part of this church or not, every Christian that exists today is standing on the shoulders of those who have come before them. And so we look in our text and we see that the people of God were carrying with them the words of the Lord concerning their future and their identity. You know, this was about 400 years earlier that we're talking about. When it says that Moses took the bones of Joseph, it was about 400 years earlier when Joseph was on the scene, and he was the right hand of Pharaoh at that time. And if we back up in our Bibles, we go to Genesis chapter 50, and we see what this is all about. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "Soon I will die," Joseph told his brothers, "but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, "When God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you." How did Joseph know the future of God's people? How did he know to say, "Hey, God is going to come and he's going to lead you back to the land that we had come from, to the promised land"? How did he know that? Because it was the Lord's destiny for his people. It was God's word. And no word from God will ever fail. And so Joseph knew. He didn't know when, but he knew that at some point God is going to come back and lead you back to the land that he had promised. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you can be in those in-between moments where God has spoken something to you. He's leading you. And then you wait. And you wait. And you wait. But listen, when God speaks something to you, you can bank on it. When God speaks something into your life, let your faith rise up and snatch it. Don't let go no matter how long it takes. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, sort of the hall of faith that we read, and many of the heroes of the Bible are mentioned, and the writer of Hebrews in verse 22 says, "It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left." It was by faith that Joseph spoke this. Listen, church, hear me. I only have 5 weeks left to drill this into your brains and into your hearts. It will be impossible for you to possess what God has for you without faith. It will be impossible. And that, you know, don't let uncertainty of the future rob you of what God has spoken. Let your faith rise up and grab it. You hear me? Are you dialed in? All right. Not only will you not be able to possess what God has for you, but you will also not be able to please Him with your life without faith. Don't believe me? Hebrews 11:6. "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Faith is central. It's key. And faith is so important right now when things are uncertain and you know that the future is unclear. And so, you know, maybe we can't chart our course totally right now, but we have faith. And that's the certainty of what we do not see. And yet we can look to God. What has God said? You know, what has God said about who we are? What has God said about what we're going to do, who we are, what we're going to be? What has God said? You know, I can look back over the last 4 years here, and during many of the changes, it was almost comical at our board meetings because, you know, it was always dreaded when we got to the financial pages. You know, we got to them, we're like, oh Lord, you know, I guess we have to look at the finances. Okay, bring them out, you know. And basically the synopsis is, yep, the ship's still sinking. And yet, even, you know, sometimes it can be hard to have faith when you start looking at some concrete things around you. Because if you try and chart your course only by circumstances and situations around you, that's bleak. That's walking in circles. That's the way that people who aren't led by the Spirit of God, that's the way they do it. But see, we have the Spirit of God. And one of the great things was, even as we had these moments like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do about this, but I trust Jesus. And let's just pray and let's just ask God. And you know, it was amazing that at the most critical moments over the last 4 years, all of a sudden there would be this monster check that it would arrive out of the blue and be like, what? You know, and it was just enough, and it was just, you know, it just met the right need at the right moment. And so we really felt the preserving hand of God all through this journey. Like, you know, well, God's in this. You know, God's still showing up. God's in this, so we're going to keep moving. And so it's really important to not navigate simply by what you see with your eyes around you, but bank on what God has said. Right? It's critical to have faith. It's critical to navigate by faith. Not fear, not uncertainty, faith. What has God said? So listen. Obviously, there's things you need to pack when you go on a road trip. But there's also things you shouldn't pack, you shouldn't take with you. A lesson that my daughter has yet to learn. I mean, you know, she packs more than I think all of us. And like, well, I might need this, you know. Well, there are some things you don't want to pack. OK, you don't want to take. And so just the same for us as a church, as we're moving on this new road trip and this journey, we can carry those, you know, we can carry those memories and those sacrifices of those who have come before us in our hearts. And we should. We cannot, however, live in the past. Anybody who tries to live in the past is in trouble. The glory of the past can never be recaptured. There's only what God is doing and what God is going to do. And listen, I'm going to speak straight to you, okay? You will abort what God has begun today if you try to enshrine your yesterdays. You cannot live on yesterday's faith. It cannot be done. C.S. Lewis, great quote, one of my favorite authors, said this: relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. See, God meets us today. There's a great poem, and I won't butcher it by trying to remember it, but basically it's reflecting on the name of God. He says, my name is I Am. You know, my name is not I Was. I'm not in the past. My name is not I Will Be. I'm not in the future. My name is I Am, because I am right here with you. And I will provide for you today. And you can trust me with your tomorrows, but you focus on today and trust me with the rest. And so we need to do that. And we need to meet God fresh every morning. You know, baggage. I don't know what comes to your mind when I say baggage. Right? There's several definitions out there, right? Some of them not so church like in their description. You know, baggage, you know, you could say, hey, you know, you've got a little something on you there. You've got a little baggage there. You might want to take care of that. Or, you know, hey, well, I won't go with that. You guys are too serious this morning. But the most common is, okay, let me set this up. Jonathan, turn to Aaron and say, Aaron, you've got baggage. No, okay, all right. So he's touching his gut, all right. You know, or maybe there's a little junk in the trunk or something, you know. Or, you know, hey, you got some baggage there. I think most commonly, at least for me, I think about if I were to come up to somebody and say, man, you got some baggage. I think most often, at least for me, I would think you're saying, hey, you have issues related to your past that you're carrying around. You know, you got some baggage, girl. You know, you need to take care of that. So the people of God coming out of Egypt also had baggage that they weren't supposed to be carrying. They also had issues in their past that they were carrying with them in their hearts. And some of those were after 400 years of being exposed to false gods that had saturated into some of them and seeped into them. And it caused them problems. It caused them some problems along the road when they hit some rough spots. You know, like as they were waiting for Moses to come down with the Ten Commandments, all of a sudden, the false God, the false worship came up. Because why? Because they were scared. Because they had to wait too long. And so that began to surface in them. And all of a sudden, they were worshiping this false God. After everything the Lord had done for them, all the miracles and the plagues and all this stuff, walking through the Red Sea, after all of that, there they were. And because they had to wait for a little while, they turned away from God. Why? Because they had baggage. It's so important for you. It's so important for the church to repent of negative baggage. Turn away from it. Drop it at the altar. Drop it at the cross and let it go. And you know what? Another thing of baggage that the the people of Israel had were old ways of thinking. They had, later on in their journey, they got to the edge of what God was trying to lead them into. All that He had promised, you know, years, you know, centuries back, all that He was had promised was about to become fulfilled in their midst. And they were at the edge, and they sent spies into the land to check it out. And the spies came back and said, you know, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight compared to them. What was that? Baggage. They still had a slave mentality. You see, they had lived under the whip, and they had lived under taskmasters, and they had been told what to do. And so they had this Egyptian way of thinking after all that God had done to deliver them, to show them that He's greater than the Egyptians. The Egyptians are nothing compared to God. He wiped out the army with the breath of His nostrils. And yet they're still living like they're under taskmasters. They hadn't got it through their minds yet that God was with them. They had an old way of thinking that cost them what God was wanting to lead them into. You see, there, like I said, there is no living in the past. You can treasure the good things. You can thank God for those things. You can thank God for a great history. But you cannot live there. There's only what God is doing and what God will do. And so I'm thinking about this, and I think it's important for us to just really, really embrace this moment without the negative baggage. You see, haven't we learned some lessons over the last 4 years? Haven't we learned some things as we've come into the new direction that God has brought? Haven't we learned some things? You know, haven't we learned that if you fail to hand off the baton to the next generation, you fail? You must make room for the next generation. You must. There is no success without a successor. These are principles. Don't try and hand the next generation what was only intended for previous generations. There are things we take with us. The cross. The gospel. The message is sacred. The methods are not. Don't pack what you must leave behind. Give them Jesus. Give them the gift of seeing your faith. Give them the gift of believing that God will meet them in their own way, and knowing that you will be celebrating right along with them. Change is difficult, isn't it? Change is difficult. Our president has discovered that change is difficult. Change is difficult. There are those who thought that this day would never come. They thought that Egypt was it. This is it. We're in Egypt. We just need to adapt. We're Egyptians. Along the way, I'm trying to prepare you for this road trip. Along the way, there will always be naysayers. There will always be those who have given up believing that the best days are ahead. There will always be those who have stopped believing that nothing is impossible with God. Those people might fall away during the journey, destined to fall short of what could have been in their lives. But what about you? You have a choice to make. What you choose to take you forward with you, church, is going to determine your journey. Can you get excited about what God is doing? Can you get excited about what's to come? Can you let your faith rise up inside of you and possess and latch onto what God wants to do and what God is yet to do? Can you do that? I think that you can. I know that you can. If you've made it this far, you're doing good. You're all right. And there's good things ahead. There's good things ahead. The best days are ahead. Can you say that with faith? The best days for this church are ahead. There were some good days in the past. Those are great. We thank God for those. But the best days are ahead. That is what we're pressing forward to. And listen, in your personal life, let me close with this. What you choose to carry in your life will ultimately affect your destination. You ever carried a bunch of baggage? Maybe you're walking in here this morning with some baggage. Let God meet you.